The subject of this split sermon is, what will we be doing in the millennium? What shall we be doing in the millennium? In an article from the Good News magazine back in September of 1980, the author writes, quote, "Throughout history, there have been a number of commentaries about the Feast of Tabernacles and the millennium, including one such commentary in Jewish literature sometime before 200 BC, and another writing paraphrasing Genesis, in which he also included a small section on God's coming kingdom. Justin Martyr, M-A-R-T-Y-R, a Catholic, held a very strong belief in the millennium, yet today the Catholics do not celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. And there are other writers on the subject, including Ironicus, the Bishop of Lyon, and also in the third century, a Greek by the name of Hippolytus of Rome and a man named Pannonia. Both spoke of a Sabbath in the seventh millennium of years when Christ and his elect will reign," unquote. It's interesting to note that the word millennium is not in the Bible, although some writers, including Halley in his handbook, uses the word in the context of explaining that it simply means 1,000 years. And this feast, which we are observing today, these 8 days, is an excellent time to review our overall destiny and of the whole world, in fact, following Christ's return. And in light of conditions prevailing these days, which will be the subject of drastic change in the millennium. The Feast of Tabernacles is first mentioned in the Bible in Leviticus chapter 23, and the word tabernacle simply means tent. Now, these days, the feast is observed in surrounding, such as here at Chatsworth, and as you may recall, it was at one time served in the United States in huge tents where thousands of people congregated. But, alas, our numbers have dwindled. The Good News writer continues, quote, "Belief in the millennium was practically universal in the 2nd century A.D., but by the 3rd century, opposition had begun to mount. And in that period, the influential trial of Origen, I suppose that's how it's pronounced, O-R-I-G-E-N, Origen, of Alexandria, a Christian theologian, castigated the idea of a rule of Christ and the saints on the physical earth. By the 4th century, belief in the millennium was more criticized than accepted," unquote. Now, belief in the millennium has thus had its ups and downs. But, of course, the biblical account that is God's word is the source of our knowledge and our belief and our understanding regarding the feast, which we are observing these days, and which pictures the forthcoming millennium of God's direct rule here on earth. Now, we all look forward to that millennium, do we not? And in that regard, let's ask the question, what will we, you and I, be doing in the millennium? Well, certainly not floating on clouds and playing harps. In fact, I would not know how to play a harp in the first place. And most likely none of you would either. I can play the piano, but not very well, and only by ear, as I cannot read notes. I took lessons many years ago as a young lad from a friend of my mother's who used to make ladies' corsets. I don't think they wear them anymore these days. And she was also the organist at the Episcopal Church, which I used to attend and which is associated with the Church of England. But then she gave up on me, after 2 lessons, possibly because she was too busy otherwise. I mean, too many women with fat bellies. Or maybe I just didn't have it, as they say. Now, if we think about what's happening in the world today, and in fact we are deluged with bad news, it is not difficult to consider what needs to be done following Christ's return, to alleviate the profusion and the problems that plague this world today. And of course, God himself has considered precisely what needs to be done and what will be done. Let's mention one area of importance. What about raising the level of education? You know, there are a number of children today, at least here in the UK and possibly in the United States, who have completed grammar and secondary education yet are unable to carry on an intelligent conversation. simply because they were not taught proper grammar or sentence structure, or do they have an extended vocabulary? I say this because it seems obvious to me when I speak with some of these young people where I live on the South Coast. We often hear the repetitive expression, you know what I mean? Andy Murray, famous tennis star, who recently lost out at Wimbledon, had that rather bad habit whenever he was asked to comment on his performance. He would say, for example, oh, it's not easy, you know, to hit the ball and it bounces, you know, and on the other side of the court, you know what I mean. Well, but this expression can be terribly aggravating, you know what I mean? Would hardly make a good witness in a TV trial or a court trial. You can imagine the expression on the faces of the jury, and you might even hear the judge complain, no, I don't know what you mean. 30 days detention, take them down to the cells. Well, there will have to be better teaching methods in tomorrow's world, simply. And God's saints will provide that skill. Over the past few years, school curricula has been altered rather frequently, leaving some teachers at a loss and frustrated as to how to implement those constant changes, thus depriving the students of a consistent method of teaching, of learning. R.I.G.E.N. Origen of Alexandra, a Christian theologian, castigated the idea of a rule of Christ and the saints on the physical earth. By the 4th century, belief in the millennium was more criticized than accepted. Unquote. Now, belief in the millennium has thus had its ups and downs. But, of course, the biblical account that is God's Word is the source of our knowledge and our belief and our understanding regarding the feast, which we are observing these days, and which pictures the forthcoming millennium of God's direct rule here on earth. Now, we all look forward to that millennium, do we not? And in that regard, let's ask the question, what will we, you and I, be doing in the millennium? Well, certainly not floating on clouds and playing harps. In fact, I would not know how to play a harp in the first place, and most likely none of you would either. I can play the piano, but not very well, and only by ear, as I cannot read notes. I took lessons many years ago as a young lad from a friend of my mother's who used to make ladies' corsets. I don't think they wear them anymore these days. And she was also the organist at the Episcopal Church, which I used to attend and which is associated with the Church of England. But then she gave up on me after 2 lessons, possibly because she was too busy otherwise. I mean, too many women with fat bellies. Or maybe I just didn't have it, as they say. Now, if we think about what's happening in the world today, and in fact we are deluged with bad news, it is not difficult to consider what needs to be done following Christ's return to alleviate the confusion and the problems that plague this world today. And of course, God himself has considered precisely what needs to be done and what will be done. Let's mention one area of importance. What about raising the level of education? You know, there are a number of children today, at least here in the UK and possibly in the United States, who have completed grammar and secondary education yet are unable to carry on an intelligent conversation simply because they were not taught proper grammar or sentence structure, or do they have an extended vocabulary. I say this because it seems obvious to me when I speak with some of these young people where I live on the South Coast. We often hear the repetitive expression, you know what I mean? Andy Murray, famous tennis star, who recently lost out at Wimbledon, had that rather bad habit whenever he was asked to comment on his performance. He would say, for example, oh, it's not easy, you know, to hit the ball and it bounces, you know, and on the other side of the court, you know what I mean. Well, but this expression can be terribly aggravating, you know what I mean? Would hardly make a good witness in a TV trial or a court trial. You can imagine the expression on the faces of the jury, and you might even hear the judge complain, no, I don't know what you mean. 30 days, detention, take them down to the cells. Well, there will have to be better teaching methods in tomorrow's world, simply. And God's saints will provide that skill. Over the past few years, school curricula has been altered rather frequently, leaving some teachers at a loss and frustrated as to how to implement those constant changes, thus depriving the students of a consistent method of teaching, of learning. It has been reported a few months ago in the newspapers, that is here in the United States, of the, the UK, regarding the relentless dumbing down of examinations, and that the UK has the least educated teachers in the developed world, would you believe? Well, lack of proper English is manifested by the current problem in this area where I live on the South Coast, which involves drunks who stagger down the street in front of my apartment block almost every morning, early morning, between midnight and 4 a.m., as they spill out from the local pubs. They seem to have a vocabulary of not more than 30 words or so, and most of which are profane. So indeed, a lot of work has to be done to educate young people in the millennium so that they will be able to express themselves properly and without resorting to profanity and other ugly expressions. And in the millennium, there will be, fortunately, one pure language for all and devoid of profanity. My own personal language skills, other than English, are very poor, having forgotten a lot of Arabic from my days in Arab countries for almost 15 years. But it's been about 40 years since I used the language, so I've lost a lot of it. I studied Spanish in college, but I never used it, so it's a complete waste of time. You know, I admire my friends on the continent in several European countries where they speak two or three languages fluently. And it's just amazing to me. And sometimes without even an accent that I could detect. But we won't have that problem in the millennium, will we? And what a blessing that will be. We shall be teaching God's word in the language that all will be listening and understanding. Now, in the context of teaching and of spiritual guidance, notice Isaiah chapter 30, if you'll turn in, please. Isaiah 30, beginning in verse 20. Verses 20 and 21. Isaiah 30, verses 20 and 21. In the beginning and the middle of verse 20, it says, "Your teachers will not be moved into a corner, but their eyes shall see your teachers," that is, spirit beings, "manifest in structure." Or do they have an extended vocabulary? I say this because it seems obvious to me when I speak to some of these young people where I live on the South Coast. We often hear the repetitive expression, you know what I mean? Andy Murray, famous tennis star, who recently lost out at Wimbledon, had that rather bad habit whenever he was asked to comment on his performance. He would say, for example, "Oh, it's not easy, you know, to hit the ball and it bounces, you know, and on the other side of the court, you know what I mean." Well, but this expression can be terribly aggravating, you know what I mean? Would hardly make a good witness in a TV trial or a court trial. You can imagine the expression on the faces of the jury. And you might even hear the judge complain, "No, I don't know what you mean. 30 days detention. Take them down to the cells." Well, there will have to be better teaching methods in tomorrow's world, simply. And God's saints will provide that skill. Over the past few years, school curricula has been altered rather frequently, leaving some teachers at a loss and frustrated as to how to implement those constant changes, thus depriving the students of a consistent method of teaching, of learning. It has been reported a few months ago in the newspapers, that is here in the United States, of the, the UK, regarding the relentless dumbing down of examinations, and that the UK has the least educated teachers in the developed world, would you believe? Well, lack of proper English is manifested by the current problem in this area where I live on the South Coast, which involves drunks who stagger down the street in front of my apartment block almost every morning, early morning, between midnight and 4 a.m., as they spill out from the local pubs. They seem to have a vocabulary of not more than 30 words or so, and most of which are profane. So indeed, a lot of work has to be done to educate young people in the millennium so that they will be able to express themselves properly and without resorting to profanity and other ugly expressions. And in the millennium, there will be, fortunately, one pure language for all and devoid of profanity. My own personal language skills, other than English, are very poor, having forgotten a lot of Arabic from my days in Arab countries for almost 15 years. But it's been about 40 years since I used the language, so I've lost a lot of it. I studied Spanish in college, but I never used it, so it's a complete waste of time. You know, I admire my friends on the continent in several European countries where they speak two or three languages fluently. And it's just amazing to me, and sometimes without even an accent that I could detect. But we won't have that problem in the millennium, will we? And what a blessing that will be. We shall be teaching God's word in the language that all will be listening and understanding. Now, in the context of teaching and of spiritual guidance, notice Isaiah chapter 30, if you'll turn there, please. Isaiah 30, beginning in verse 20. Verses 20 and 21. Isaiah 30, verses 20 and 21. In the beginning and the middle of verse 20, it says, "Your teachers will not be moved into a corner, but their eyes shall see your teachers, that is, spirit beings manifested as humans. Your ears will hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left." And you may liken that to an on-the-spot teacher. Proper education will certainly be a major event in the millennium of necessity. And you and I will be the teachers. On a somewhat more sober note, there will be the urgent need in the millennium to reduce crime drastically in all of its ugly facets, including theft, murder, terrorism, racism, yobbish behavior, rape, anti-Semitism, bullying, mostly in schools, and the need to cope with and demolish the drug trade and kidnapping. Unfortunately, remember, it reminds me of that little girl, Scottish girl, Madeleine McCann, who was kidnapped several years ago in Portugal, not yet found. Thievery is a major problem here in the UK and possibly in the United States. In the greater Manchester area, for example, in 2008, there were nearly 15,000 cars stolen in that period, mostly by the technique of what is called hot wiring, and then driving off and causing accidents, abandoning the car, and so forth. Regarding the relentless dumbing down of examinations, and that the UK has the least educated teachers in the developed world, would you believe? Well, lack of proper English is manifested by the current problem in this area where I live on the South Coast, which involves drunks who stagger down the street in front of my apartment block almost every morning, early morning, between midnight and 4 a.m., as they spill out from the local pubs. They seem to have a vocabulary of not more than 30 words or so, and most of which are profane. So indeed, a lot of work has to be done to educate young people in the millennium so that they will be able to express themselves properly and without resorting to profanity and other ugly expressions. And in the millennium, there will be, fortunately, one pure language for all and devoid of profanity. My own personal language skills, other than English, are very poor, having forgotten a lot of Arabic from my days in Arab countries for almost 15 years. But it's been about 40 years since I used the language, so I've lost a lot of it. I studied Spanish in college, but I never used it, so it's a complete waste of time. You know, I admire my friends on the continent in several European countries where they speak two or three languages fluently. And it's just amazing to me. And sometimes without even an accent that I could detect. But we won't have that problem in the millennium, will we? And what a blessing that will be. We shall be teaching God's word in the language that all will be listening and understanding. Now, in the context of teaching and of spiritual guidance, notice Isaiah chapter 30, if you'll turn there, please. Isaiah 30, beginning in verse 20. Verses 21, 20 and 21. Isaiah 30, verses 20 and 21. In the beginning and the middle of verse 20, it says, "Your teachers will not be moved into a corner, but their eyes shall see your teachers, that is, spirit beings manifested as humans. Your ears will hear a word behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it,' whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left." And you may liken that to an on-the-spot teacher. Proper education will certainly be a major event in the millennium of necessity. And you and I will be the teachers. On a somewhat more sober note, there will be the urgent need in the millennium to reduce crime drastically in all of its ugly facets, including theft, murder, terrorism, racism, yobbish behavior, rape, anti-Semitism, bullying, mostly in schools, and the need to cope with and demolish the drug trade and kidnapping. Unfortunately, remember, it reminds me of that little girl, Scottish girl, Madeleine McCann, who was kidnapped several years ago in Portugal, not yet found. Thievery is a major problem here in the UK and possibly in the United States. In the Greater Manchester area, for example, in 2008, there were nearly 15,000 cars stolen in that period, mostly by the technique of what is called hot wiring, and then driving off and causing accidents, abandoning the car, and so forth. Car manufacturers have apparently solved this problem, and now the thieves are stealing the keys, where possible, directly from inside the owner's homes, and thus the problem still exists. All these activities I have so far mentioned, we, as God's saints, shall be involved with, and I think I can say it will be a pleasure to have that responsibility to guide the people and sort them out in the way that they should go and what they should be doing, and where necessary to use possibly a rod of iron to quash the activities of those who break the law, God's law. Now, these days we also have the problem of pornography and pedophilia and the gay life and same-sex marriages, quote-unquote. And these people will have to be re-educated and their minds induced to accept normal relations and the sanctity of life. Children will need to be specially cared for and protected, that is, those who have been abused by sexual deviants. Now, glamorization of devil culture, such as witchcraft, black magic, pagan rites, and the like, will also need to be eliminated, and will be. On a more global scale, starvation, food shortages, etc., will need to be relieved through proper land management and, of course, rain in due season. Poppy growing for the purpose of manufacturing heroin will be eliminated. I often wonder why they can't just go to Afghanistan and remove the farmers from the fields where poppies are grown and burn it out completely and possibly compensate the farmers. But I don't seem to want to do that. All will be listening and understanding. Now, in the context of teaching and of spiritual guidance, notice Isaiah chapter 30, if you'll turn there, please. Isaiah 30, beginning in verse 20. Verses 20 and 21. Isaiah 30, verses 20 and 21. In the beginning and the middle of verse 20, it says, "Your teachers will not be moved into a corner, but their eyes shall see your teachers, that is, spirit beings manifested as humans. Your ears will hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left. And you may liken that to an on-the-spot teacher. Proper education will certainly be a major event in the millennium of necessity. And you and I will be the teachers. On a somewhat more sober note, there will be the urgent need in the millennium to reduce crime drastically in all of its ugly facets, including theft, murder, terrorism, racism, yobbish behavior, rape, anti-Semitism, bullying, mostly in schools, and the need to cope with and demolish the drug trade and kidnapping. Unfortunately, remember, it reminds me of that little girl, Scottish girl, Madeleine McCann, who was kidnapped several years ago in Portugal, not yet found. Thievery is a major problem here in the UK and possibly in the United States. In the greater Manchester area, for example, in 2008, there were nearly 15,000 cars stolen in that period, mostly by the technique of what is called hot wiring, and then driving off and causing accidents, abandoning the car, and so forth. Car manufacturers have apparently solved this problem, and now the thieves are stealing the keys where possible directly from inside the owner's homes, and thus the problem still exists. All these activities I have so far mentioned, we as God's saints shall be involved with, and I think I can say it will be a pleasure to have that responsibility to guide the people and sort them out in the way that they should go and what they should be doing, and where necessary to use possibly a rod of iron to quash the activities of those who break the law, God's law. Now these days we also have the problem of pornography and pedophilia and the gay life and same-sex marriages, quote unquote. And these people will have to be re-educated and their minds induced to accept normal relations and the sanctity of life. Children will need to be specially cared for and protected, that is, those who have been abused by sexual deviants. Islamization of devil culture, such as witchcraft, black magic, pagan rites, and the like, will also need to be eliminated, and will be. On a more global scale, starvation, food shortages, etc., will need to be relieved through proper land management and, of course, rain in due season. Poppy growing for the purpose of manufacturing heroin will be eliminated. I often wonder why they can't just go to Afghanistan and remove the farmers from the fields where poppies are grown and burn it out completely and possibly compensate the farmers, but they don't seem to want to do that. And of course, about 80% of the heroin that we have here in the UK comes from Afghanistan. On a more global scale, starvation, food shortages, etc., will need to be relieved through proper land management with rain in due season. I said that, didn't I? Well, poppy growing also, but in addition to that, people will have to be taught God's food laws. And it's not just a matter of avoiding pork and shellfish, but eating a balanced diet devoid of greasy and fatty foods and artificial flavorings and colorings. And then sickness of all sorts will be healed and people taught how to avoid health problems. And people also need to be taught God's holy days, including the true Sabbath, during which God's word will be taught by us as priests, guiding the people to repent of their sins, but also remembering that during the millennium, free moral agency will still continue to prevail, and thus emphasizing the need to avoid making wrong choices. The plague of abortion will be eliminated, and those undeveloped beings who were aborted will eventually, in the great white throne judgment, be resurrected and given an opportunity to grow and live according to God's plan. As you may recall, President Obama decided in the very first day of his presidency to release federal funds to assist abortion clinics. As a bit of an aside to thievery is a major problem here in the UK and possibly in the United States. In the Greater Manchester area, for example, in 2008 there were nearly 15,000 cars stolen in that period, mostly by the technique of what is called hot wiring, and then driving off and causing accidents, abandoning the car, and so forth. Car manufacturers have apparently solved this problem, and now the thieves are stealing the keys where possible directly from inside the owner's homes, and thus the problem still exists. All these activities I have so far mentioned, we as God's saints shall be involved with, and I think I can say it will be a pleasure to have that responsibility to guide the people and sort them out in the way that they should go and what they should be doing, and where necessary to use possibly a rod of iron to quash the activities of those who break the law, God's law. Now, these days we also have the problem of pornography and pedophilia and the gay life and same-sex marriages, quote unquote. And these people will have to be re-educated and their minds induced to accept normal relations and the sanctity of life. Children will need to be specially cared for and protected, that is, those who have been abused by sexual deviants. Now, glamorization of devil culture, such as witchcraft, black magic, pagan rites, and the like, will also need to be eliminated, and will be. On a more global scale, starvation, food shortages, etc., will need to be relieved through proper land management and, of course, rain in due season. Poppy growing for the purpose of manufacturing heroin will be eliminated. I often wonder why they can't just go to Afghanistan and remove the farmers from the fields where poppies are grown and burn it out completely and possibly compensate the farmers. But they don't seem to want to do that. And of course, about 80% of the heroin that we have here in the UK comes from Afghanistan. On a more global scale, starvation, food shortages, etc., will need to be relieved through proper land management with rain in due season. I said that, didn't I? Well, poppy growing also, but in addition to that, people will have to be taught God's food laws. And it's not just a matter of avoiding pork and shellfish, but eating a balanced diet devoid of greasy and fatty foods and artificial flavorings and colorings. And then sickness of all sorts will be healed and people taught how to avoid health problems. And people also need to be taught God's holy days, including the true Sabbath, during which God's word will be taught by us as priests, guiding the people to repent of their sins, but also remembering that during the millennium, free moral agency will still continue to prevail, and thus emphasizing the need to avoid making wrong choices. The plague of abortion will be eliminated, and those undeveloped beings who were aborted will eventually, in the great white throne judgment, be resurrected and given an opportunity to grow and live according to God's plan. As you may recall, President Obama decided in the very first day of his presidency to release federal funds to assist abortion clinics. As a bit of an aside to this viable human being from the moment of conception. Therefore, why would he allow or inject an unviable sperm or egg in that womb? Conception. But getting back to all these corrective activities, including the elimination of war and of genocide and of torture, will bring people into the knowledge of what God originally intended when he created man for man's own good. Isaiah 11, and you may wish to turn there later, Isaiah 11 verses 1 through 10 with the subtitle, Restoration of the Messiah's Kingdom, which speaks about the wolf dwelling with the lamb and the leopard with the young goat and the calf with a young lion with a little child to lead them, and the nursing child putting his hand into the cobra's hole without harm. All also all that the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Daniel 2, verse 44, without turning there, tells us, in the context of Daniel's vision of the end times setting up of a kingdom of God which shall never be destroyed, and which shall break in pieces and consume all earthly kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And it is through that kingdom that a solution to the world's current problems will be resolved. God's first fruits, including you and me, who die before Christ's return, will be resurrected first, and that could well be on the Day of Trumpets, followed by those alive at that time, and will be. On a more global scale, starvation, food shortages, etc., will need to be relieved through proper land management and, of course, rain in due season. Poppy growing for the purpose of manufacturing heroin will be eliminated. I often wonder why they can't just go to Afghanistan and remove the farmers from the fields where poppies are grown and burn it out completely and possibly compensate the farmers. But they don't seem to want to do that. And, of course, about 80% of the heroin that we have here in the UK comes from Afghanistan. On a more global scale, starvation, food shortages, etc., will need to be relieved through proper land management with rain in due season. I said that, didn't I? Well, poppy growing also, but in addition to that, people will have to be taught God's food laws. And it's not just a matter of avoiding pork and shellfish, but eating a balanced diet devoid of greasy and fatty foods and artificial flavorings and colorings. And then sickness of all sorts will be healed and people taught how to avoid health problems. And people also need to be taught God's holy days, including the true Sabbath, during which God's word will be taught by us as priests, guiding the people to repent of their sins, but also remembering that during the millennium, free moral agency will still continue to prevail, and thus emphasizing the need to avoid making wrong choices. The plague of abortion will be eliminated, and those undeveloped beings who were aborted will eventually, in the great white throne judgment, be resurrected and given an opportunity to grow and live according to God's plan. As you may recall, President Obama decided in the very first day of his presidency to release federal funds to assist abortion clinics. As a bit of an aside to this, a viable human being from the moment of conception. Therefore, why would he allow or inject an unviable sperm or egg in that womb? Conception. But getting back to work, all these corrective activities, including the elimination of war and of genocide and of torture, will bring people into the knowledge of what God originally intended when he created man for man's own good. Isaiah 11, and you may wish to turn there later, Isaiah 11 verses 1 through 10 with the subtitle, Restoration of the Messiah's Kingdom, which speaks about the wolf dwelling with the lamb and the leopard with the young goat and the calf with a young lion with a little child to lead them and the nursing child putting his hand into a cobra's hole without harm. All that the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Daniel 2, verse 44, without turning there, tells us, in the context of Daniel's vision of the end times setting up of a kingdom of God which shall never be destroyed, and which shall break in pieces and consume all earthly kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And it is through that kingdom that a solution to the world's current problems will be resolved. God's first fruits, including you and me, who die before Christ's return, will be resurrected first, and that could well be on the Day of Trumpets, followed by those alive at that time, and all of whom will be changed instantly, that is in the twinkling of an eye, to an immortal being, and thus we shall enter the millennium to be blessed as kings, priests, and judges in God's forthcoming kingdom, here on earth, not in heaven. On a human level, it is difficult to conceive such a fantastic event, that is, being changed from flesh and blood to spirit, for none of us has ever experienced life as a spirit being. Notice Revelation 2, verses 26 and 27. Revelation 2, verses 26 and 27. Which is Christ's message, rather, to the church of Pergamos, and by extension, to all church eras, including the church of Philadelphia. Notice, Revelation 2, verse 26. He who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the potter's vessel shall be broken in pieces, or as the New International Version words it, he will dash them in pieces like pottery. And indeed, physical discipline will certainly be needed to cope with the hangover of crime, of arrogance, and of war, and violence, and torture, and genocide, and those who give scant recognition of or respect for God's law, all of which plague our world today. Former Secretary General of the United Nations, remembering that during the millennium, free moral agency will still continue to prevail, and thus emphasizing the need to avoid making wrong choices. The plague of abortion will be eliminated, and those undeveloped beings who were aborted will eventually, in the great white throne judgment, be resurrected and given an opportunity to grow and live according to God's plan. As you may recall, President Obama decided in the very first day of his presidency to release federal funds to assist abortion clinics. As a bit of an aside to this, viable human being from the moment of conception. Therefore, why would he allow or inject an unviable sperm or egg in that womb? Conception. But getting back to what all these corrective activities, including the elimination of war and of genocide and of torture, will bring people into the knowledge of what God originally intended when he created man for man's own good. Isaiah 11, and you may wish to turn there later, Isaiah 11 verses 1 through 10 with the subtitle, Restoration of the Messiah's Kingdom, which speaks about the wolf dwelling with the lamb and the leopard with the young goat and the calf with a young lion with a little child to lead them, and the nursing child putting his hand into a cobra's hole without harm, all that the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. Daniel 2, verse 44, without turning there, tells us, in the context of Daniel's vision of the end times setting up of a kingdom of God which shall never be destroyed, and which shall break in pieces and consume all earthly kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And it is through that kingdom that a solution to the world's current problems will be resolved. God's first fruits, including you and me, who die before Christ's return, will be resurrected first, and that could well be on the Day of Trumpets, followed by those alive at that time, and all of whom will be changed instantly, that is, in the twinkling of an eye, to an immortal being. And this shall be, and thus we shall enter the millennium to be blessed as kings, priests, and judges in God's forthcoming kingdom, here on earth, not in heaven.